Well, let's look at James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Notice that, the bits turn about the whole body. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm." And notice what it says, "whithersoever the governor listeth," wherever he decides, wherever the captain decides to go. Now also notice that it says here that that little helm, that little rudder, will turn the ship even in fierce winds, even in times of trouble. Verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Verse 11, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs?" Well, we know the answer is no. "So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So we can see here that the tongue is a member amongst us or in our bodies that can do what? What does it say? It can defile the whole body. That means that it can defile, and some of the translations, I like what some of these other translations say. The NIV, it says it corrupts the whole person. This is verse 6, and it sets the whole course of his life on fire. So that means things that we say can determine or direct the course of our life. It sets it on fire. The New Living, it says, "And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire." That means words that we say can disrupt or corrupt your whole life. And we know there's other scriptures that support that. The Good News Translation, it says, "And the tongue is like a fire. It is a world of wrong, occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being. It sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself." So we can see here that hell can inspire the tongue, right? To say some things that we shouldn't say. In other words, it can start something. Hell can inspire the tongue to say something, to start something that seems kind of insignificant or small, and it can build up into something that's out of control. A fire, a roaring, raging fire. Well, let me ask a question. If hell can inspire the tongue, heaven can inspire our tongue. And that's the point, that heaven can inspire our tongue to begin to release words and say things that, as we said before, can start off small and seemingly be insignificant to us, but can build into something that's tremendous, right? Because heaven, just like hell, can inspire the tongue. And I think we need to keep that in mind, and it gets, as we begin to release words and let heaven, through the Word of God, get down in our heart, it will come out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak and begin to change the very course and nature of our lives. And it takes time, but it takes consistency. And it takes something. I was listening to a message recently, and the speaker said something that I thought, you know, I've read it, but you know, sometimes ministers can say something or someone can say something just a little bit different that adds, not clarity, but you see it a different way. And he said this, that Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And this was the way he expressed it. He said, in order for faith to work, it must be in two places at the same time. It must be in your heart, and it must be in your mouth. If it's not working and in both places at the same time, it won't work. And we can see that from the scripture. What does it say? Whosoever shall say, that's something from your mouth, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. So it's got to be in your mouth, and it's got to be in your heart. And we know this. You can't have something in your heart and say something different. It won't work. You've got to believe that the things that you say will come to pass, and you do what? You doubt not. So your heart has got to have faith in it, and faith is released from your heart through your what? Your words and your mouth. So faith has got to be in your heart, and faith has got to be in your words. It's got to be in those two places or it will not work. And I thought that was a good way of expressing that, because so often we read the scripture, but sometimes we need to just think about that again. When I say something, is that what I want to come to pass? Is that what's in my heart? If it's not, then we need to change it. And we're all growing. We're all, you know, making adjustments in areas. I believe as God, as you get more of the Word in you, the Word of God, and by His Spirit, will reveal to you, don't say that anymore. Don't do that. Don't express that. Don't act that way. Don't do that. Because you're going to have what you say. You keep saying it long enough, and you will have it. If you say, I can't, so be it. You won't. And in the natural, see, this is where we have got to make the correction in us. Yes, we need to follow God's Spirit and follow His direction. And that's key. But I also believe that God said to us that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have them, right? You shall receive them. And so there's some things that sometimes in the natural, we may not be able to acquire it in the natural. So to men, things are impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with Him. And I have found that if you just keep saying it long enough, doors open up. Doors that were closed for years, all of a sudden, there's a crack, There's something opening up to you that up to this point, it seemed absolutely impossible to have it, acquire it, get it. And then all of a sudden, there's an opportunity. You know, I'm thinking about, as we're sharing here, I'm thinking about this young lady who used to be here. She volunteered here at the ministry. She came here a number of years ago. She's since relocated, married, has a few children. But she was came from Haiti. And she, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but it just came up in my heart. But she came from Haiti, and she did not have all of her papers. She did not have her green card and all of the, you know, the papers that you need to have. And so she began to work for someone, and she was working off the books. And so as she came here and kept coming here and getting the word, the Holy Ghost began to nudge her and say, you can't do that anymore. You can't work off the books. That's not right. And so she went to the owner. He was Jewish. And she told him, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't do this anymore. I can't work off the books. He wanted her so much because she was such a good worker. He said, I want to keep you here, and so I'll do whatever I have to do. Then she wanted to go to college. And this owner paid her way to college. See, that's what I'm talking about, favor. When you start doing what God said, do this. He said, don't do that anymore. And so he also then began to help her legally get all of her documents and so forth, to get her card and all of that. And she did. And then she finally went out to Tulsa, went to Bible school, and so forth and so on, got married, has started her own company. But, you know, what I'm saying, the point is that you could have seemingly something that's not possible to get or acquire. And as you follow God, God will say, okay, go over here, do this. Don't do that anymore. And you put it down and you follow him, and favor opens up. Blessings open up because you obey, right? And so those things that we desire and those things that we need, God will open the doors for us. So anyways, but you can see here that the tongue, as it says here, is a very, it's like the bit in the horse's mouth, that it may obey it. In other words, if anybody have ever ridden a horse, I did when I was young, rode horses a little bit, you pull that bit and it'll pull that horse one way or the other, right? And so if you were driving a car, it'd be the same thing. If I'm turning that steering wheel in the car, moves that car in whatever direction the driver wants to go, right? Wherever the governor listeth, whether that driver decides to go, he turns the wheel and decides we're going this direction, right? So it'll be the same thing. You could say your tongue is like a steering wheel. You don't like the direction you're going in? Change the direction. Change your speech, right? Stop complaining. I'm going the wrong way. Well, change direction. Turn the wheel, right? You know, stop complaining. Stop talking about it, right? And change the direction. So let's turn over to Proverbs, if you would, Proverbs 18. Just going back and looking at these scriptures to kind of remind us and meditate on them a little bit. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of what? His lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can see here, we could ask the question, does it matter what we say? Yes, it does. It's either going to be one or the other, life or death, or in this case, death or life, is in the power of the tongue. So we could say here that if you need an economic recovery, it's in the power of your tongue. You need a change in your body, it's in the power of your tongue. You need a change in your family, it's in the power of your tongue. You need a change in your home life, things going on, you need to change what you say. Get God involved. Release life. See, that's the thing. God spoke. When he spoke, says God is a spirit, he is life, so it's impossible for him. There is no darkness in him. So it's impossible for God to speak death. He is life. My words are what? What do you say? My words are spirit and life. So it's not possible for God to speak death words. Now, even though we're made in his image and likeness, our spirit has been changed, and it's not corruptible. It's incorruptible. But we live in his body, and we need to be transformed. So it is possible, until we get renewed, that we may release some words that aren't too good. But I believe that as we meditate on the Word of God, I believe that we can get to the place where we speak less and less sin-filled words or death-filled words. I believe that. So now, let's turn over. I want to take a look this evening, in these thoughts here this evening. Is God listening to what we say? Oh, yeah. What we say about him affects what he says about us. Just some scriptures here. I'm going to share this. Matthew 10. I guess you could turn over there. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I do what? Confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So we can see here, it makes a big difference. Or it makes a difference on what we say about him. It affects what he says about us. Amen? I want to take a look and see, look at some scriptures here if you would. If you got your Bible or electronic Bible, turn over to Ezekiel chapter 35 for a moment. We're looking at, does God hear our words or hear what we say? Ezekiel 35, and let's look at verse 13. I'll give you a minute to get there. It says, this is the King James Version, thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. What does it say? I have heard them. So he hears them. Turn over to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. These are probably more familiar. Verse 17. Says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. We've done what? Wearied the Lord. Now, he doesn't get tired, but he may get, what's another good word for wearied? Maybe exhausted, not exhausted, or just, I don't want to hear it anymore, right? You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? So the point here is that we can weary the Lord with our words. In other words, he doesn't like it. Go to chapter 3 in Malachi and look at verse 13 and 14. It says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what does it say? Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Verse 14, you have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Ooh. I don't know about you, but, you know, if you look at Galatians, he said, if you sow, he said, what you sow is what you're going to reap. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. And what does it say? God is not mocked. He's not ridiculed. And what does it also say in verse 9? It says, let us not be what? Weary in well-doing, but we will what? We shall reap if we faint not. So the point here is that when I understand this is the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, there's got to be, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 10? It says, cast not away therefore your what? Your confidence, for it hath what? Great recompense of reward. So don't cast away your confidence. I don't care how long. Your flesh wants to quit. Your flesh becomes weary. Your mind may become weary, but out of the abundance of your heart, keep feeding that God is the Father of spirits, and every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. He is my Father. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. And serving him is good. We may get weary in flesh, but God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I don't care what it looks like. We're going to reap. I don't care what it smells like. We're going to reap. Hallelujah. I saw something that, you know, we get... the Shekinah Glory, Cindy writes letters, and she wrote something, you know, she'll send out a partner letter. And, of course, we support her here at their ministry. We support them. And she'll write all of these little doodads and little notes on the letter and everything. And she'll say, you know, if you could only see the difference that you're making in this area, see it, you see. So sometimes... we're praying, and the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. And the devil wants you to look and see, hey, nothing going on. Stuff ain't happening. Yes, it is. And things are changing in the spirit realm. People's hearts are hungering for God. And it's changing. And this ministry and others are having an impact in this area. And the devil would make you think nothing's going on. She said, keep steady. Keep praying. You're having an impact in this area. She said, see it. You see? And those were real encouraging words, because a lot of times your mind will think, what's going on? You've got to say, no, our prayers are chipping away at the devil's kingdom in this area. He's breaking down strongholds. When we come together, whether it's 2 or 200, our prayers are effective. These are seeds, words that are going out in the spirit realm and changing things. And that's the thing. God is not mocked. And our prayers are impacting this area. Our words are impacting. Keep hooked up with God's purpose in this area. It's not, it's about the lost. It's about the people that I was looking at something today, you know, the on Facebook, and some of the people that are in coming or that have been what would I call it, directors over certain schools in different areas of the world coming out of Rhema. There's a couple that's been over in Ukraine for years, and just the things that are going on over there, the hunger, the people that are looking to receive Christ, and just the things that are going on in other parts of the world. Don't let what seemingly looks like nothing going on to affect the power of God operating, because it works, and it's changing the atmosphere, changing things. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Jeremiah. Let's go back over to Jeremiah chapter 23. And let's look at chapter 23 in Jeremiah, and let's look at verse 33. It says here, and when this people, or the prophet, or the priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Look at verse 35. Thus shall ye say, right? Thus shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention what? No more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have what? Perverted the words of the living God and of the Lord of hosts, our God. So in other words, don't say something that the Lord didn't say. Don't go saying something that he didn't say. He'll say, uh-uh, I didn't say that. It'll just say here, you've perverted the words of the living God. Let's go over, let's back up to Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs chapter 10. And let's look at verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, or there lacks not, you could say. He that refraineth his lips is wise. I like some of the modern translations. It makes it a little plainer. It says, the more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet. If you're wise, you'll keep quiet. We're learning how to keep quiet, aren't we? We're learning. Just got to say it. Got to say it. Got to say it. Got to say it. No. If you're wise, you'll hold your tongue. The New Living Translation, it says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Yep. Proverbs 15, you know, you don't have to defend everything. People could call you a dog and every other kind of thing. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to. You know, I like, what was it, Pastor Greg taught a message, don't take the bait. Sometimes the bait's out there and you just, it's come on, say something. You know, take the bait. And sometimes we just have to say, you know what, I'm not taking that bait. I'm not going to take the bait. You can call me, you know, whatever you want to call me. And we're learning the flesh wants to say something, but the wise will keep our mouth shut. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And that's why I say it's better to read it in a new King James. It says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The New Living Translation says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. So, let your yeas be yea, and your nays nay, right? Proverbs 17. Let's go over there. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. It says, he that hath knowledge does what? Spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That just means, it says in my margin, a cool spirit. That means, I guess you could say, more of a controlled spirit. Proverbs 16, I'm sorry, let's, yes, Proverbs 16 and verse 23. It says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learnings to his lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The complete Jewish Bible, it says, the wise man's heart teaches his mouth. See, this is back to what we were saying before. It's got to be in both places, the heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth, right? So this is saying the same thing. The wise man's heart teaches his mouth, and to his lips it adds learning. Amen. You could say here in James 1:19, what does it say? Let every man be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. Right? That means, what do we say? Slower speech, less words. Slower speech, fewer words. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Just move forward here from Proverbs to Ecclesiastes. And let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Right? There's another scripture I was thinking, you know, along this line this evening, when it says, you know, does God hear our words? Just the thought came, 1 John 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. So if we ask, if we speak, if we say those things that he has promised, he hears us. So when we start releasing words that are not his will, what did it say in Malachi? Your words are stout. They're strong against me. Right. Let's look at one last scripture here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 12. This is familiar. Matthew 12. And let's look at verse 34, starting in 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can you, or ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, this is the heart-mouth connection here. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth what? Good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. In verse 36, this is red letters now, so this is Jesus speaking here. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, or made, you could say, made righteous, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what we say affects what the Lord says about us. And this here, this is Jesus saying, if it says every idle word, we know idle, if you look that up, it just means something that's non-productive. It means something that's inactive. It doesn't produce, right? It's just, how do you want to call it? It's not producing anything. So we want to make sure here that our words are less. What do we see here? It says too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That's pretty strong. Our judge says, they say plain, right? So in other words, it's better. What is that scripture that said? It's better to keep your mouth shut and not divulge. What does it say? I think it's in Proverbs somewhere. It says that you let them know how foolish you are, right? That you don't have anything to say. So just don't say anything, right? They'll think you're smart. Right? So just zip it up, keep it quiet. And that's something that we have to learn. But I think, you know, it's something that, you know, when I went back and looked at that prophecy where Pastor Sarah was concerned, the Lord, when he inspired Kenneth Copeland to say that or release those words, he didn't say, I was increasing the anointing upon your life. If you go back and look at that prophecy, he said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. Be careful what you say, even in jesting. So sometimes the Lord will not increase the anointing upon our words because you'd be killing folk with your words or destroying things, right? So it's best, you know, that as we learn and we grow, this is the thing here. We want to be able to say something. You know, when we talk about we desire signs and wonders and miracles, you don't want destruction. You want signs and wonders and miracles, and God is going to operate through us as we do what? We mature, as we get a hold upon releasing the kind of words that we release, and I believe that God will begin to honor that. You see? But we've got to do what? What does it say? Wherever the governor listeth, we've got to take control of the things that we're releasing, the things that we're saying. And if we mess up, what do we do? Judge ourselves that we be not judged. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, help me in this area. As we meditate more on the Word of God, God will give us more of an understanding. What does it say here when we read this? He said here, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. So just think about, what did you say? Think about what you're going to say before you say it. I've not always been there. I've let stuff come out that I'd go, oop, I shouldn't have said that. Right? We've all been there because we live in this flesh and we're, you know, buttons get pushed. Right? Everybody's button is different. But I can tell you, you keep probing, you'll find a button somewhere that when you push it, something will get said. And so that's the thing. We just need to learn how to kind of defuse these buttons that we have and let the love of God kind of rise up in us, right? And control that. And just even if it's on the tip of your tongue, you go, I'm not going to say it. You want to say it. You know, it's like somebody said, do you want that dessert? Yes, sir. I certainly do, but I'm not eating it, right? So it's the same thing. You desire to say something, and you really want to say something, but you learn to not. You learn to choose your words to be more effective, and it takes some effort. And sometimes, you know, I'll say it this way, that sometimes in our mess up, God will begin to reveal some things to us and say, you know what, you shouldn't have said that. And so you begin to, in that process, you learn. Sometimes, you know, just hearing a message, you know, I say this, sometimes, you know, experience, you don't want to always say this, but, you know, we don't want to say experience is a teacher, but in life, it is a teacher. It does teach us. Because as you walk through life, you know, I'm thinking about this, how many when they were growing up, your parents told you to do something, you go, yeah, right. And so you went off on your little trail and didn't listen to what they said, right? And bumping your head, and you started walking through some things that you didn't have to walk through, right? If you had listened. But you said, I ain't gonna listen to you because I know better, right? And sometimes it's the same thing. God will be prompting us, or we'll read something and it just hasn't taken root. And I think that as we meditate more on the Word of God in this area and we get control, we'll have a bigger impact. Some of the things that we're saying and releasing. And I'll say it this way, you may be having it working in one area or five areas, and there may be just one area. I'm not saying that it's a train wreck in every area of our life, but I'm saying you could be working 75 or 80% of your life, you've got control over your words. And then there's this little area over here that it's just you haven't gotten a hold of yet. Right? And that's where probably I would say most of us are. There's something, one little area of our life that somebody can hit a button and that's it. Right? And you just, I look at it this way, those are opportunities, right? Those are opportunities for us when we get there. I like what somebody used to say, you know, you walk down this street, you fall in the hole, right? And you walk back down street and you fall in the same hole again. And then you decide after about the fifth time, I'm taking another street. I'm going down a different road, right? You bang your head enough times and you go, you know what? And the Holy Ghost will start to nudge our hearts with the Word of God if we stay pliable, and he'll say, look, you know, you need to correct that. You need to change that in your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, that you're working in all of our hearts. In every area of our lives, Father, you're working us so that you're perfecting us into a mighty army. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God, which is working in our hearts, correcting us, revealing to us those things that we need to perfect and change and improve. We thank you, Father, that the words of our heart and the words that we've deposited in our heart, we thank you that we're not going to separate our words from that which is in our heart. And we thank you, Father, that the words that we speak will be pleasing unto you. We thank you, Father, that they're effective in changing things in our life for the better. We thank you that we're going to speak less and less things that offend and speak more and more life-filled words, faith-filled words. And we thank you, Father, that when we do step over and miss it, that you reveal it to us, Holy Spirit. Extend mercy to us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.